This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Mike James.
Hi, welcome to another edition of the Armor of God. Thanks for joining us on today's program. What I'm going to talk about today is the Holy Spirit. And that's a controversial subject when you look at what various Christian denominations say about God's Holy Spirit. Those who are of the Trinitarian sort will tell you that God's Holy Spirit is a third person of the Trinity. There's God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are co-equal, co-eternal personages, that they are each personal beings in some way. Those of us here at the Church of God International definitely believe that the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. But we don't look at it as Trinitarians do. And I want to look at scriptures today that give us descriptive terms in helping us understand who and what the Holy Spirit is. Because this is a definitely controversial subject. It's been raging in Christianity for a couple thousand years. There are various conceptions and ideas about what the Holy Spirit is. But I want you to think about something before I get to Scripture. We know that God is likened to the Father, you know, that there is God the Father. We know that there is God the Son, and we have those descriptive terms on God. God the Father, God the Son. Why isn't there a descriptor, a familial descriptor like that for the Holy Spirit? Is it possible that God wants us to understand the Holy Spirit in a different way than we understand the Father and the Son? Again, I'm not denying that the Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. Not at all. That's in the Bible. But when we begin to look at what Trinitarians say about the Holy Spirit, much of what you read about it is not biblical. It is not rooted in Scripture. It is in what is called the Athanasian Creed, and some of what is in the Athanasian Creed is not biblical. It is the opinion of church fathers from many years ago. Now, as we begin to look at this, we're going to look at it from the standpoint of what Scripture is revealing about the Holy Spirit. And if we go back to the Old Testament, where we won't be spending a lot of time, and you ask the Jewish scholars about their understanding of God's Spirit in the Old Testament, they will tell you, they will admit to you, they did not understand the Spirit of God to be a separate entity from God or another person in understanding God as God and the Spirit. They understood the Spirit as God's Spirit. There was no understanding that Trinitarians have today among the Jewish believers and scholars in the Old Testament. So that's another thing to keep in mind as we look at this interesting subject that we will be delving into on today's program. So I'd like to start off in the book of Acts. So if you have your Bibles handy, turn to Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to begin in verse 17. Can we elicit any information about the Spirit right here when the Spirit came upon the New Testament church? Acts 2:17, "And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy." So we see here they thought that they were in the end times. Of course, they were incorrect in that assessment, because God's Spirit had come upon them. They were speaking in tongues. But notice what it says here, that they are able with this Spirit to prophesy, to see visions, and to speak in various tongues. Now, when we look at this information, I want you to keep that in mind, because we're going to come back to it. But before I go any further, what I'd like to do is offer you some free literature and also a free CD on today's program. Now, the literature I'm going to offer you today is a booklet that is titled, Who, What is God? Now, this is an awesome booklet. You need to get this free copy of Who, What is God? Because it takes a look at Scripture and what Scripture has to say about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Get Who, What is God? We also want you to get the free sermon CD titled The Holy Spirit by one of our elders named Vance Stinson. Get the Holy Spirit to learn more about who and what the Holy Spirit is. To get both of these items free of charge, all you need to do is call toll-free 1-888-578-8791. That's 1-888-578-8791. Or you can order by visiting our website, www.cgi.org. That's www.cgi.org. Also, go to our website to learn more about our weekly sermon broadcast. Go to www.cgi.org. All right, welcome back. Now, before we went to that break, we were talking about Acts chapter 2, verses 17 and 18. And what we found in those scriptures was that the Holy Spirit was coming upon the New Testament church, and the writer believed that when this Spirit came upon the church, they were going to be able to dream dreams, see visions, and also prophesy. So whatever the Holy Spirit is, we get some evidence about what it can do by the fact that it is acting upon the minds of Christians in some sort of way. The fact that you're dreaming about something, the fact that you're seeing a vision about something, the fact that you're prophesying, all that happens up in your brain, in your mind. So is there some connection between God's Holy Spirit and man's mind, man's spirit or brain? We want to delve into that a little bit further as we move through today's program, and we will see further evidence of that very fact. So let's move on in our discussion about God's Holy Spirit, and let's turn over to the book of John. And John had a lot to say about the nature of Jesus Christ, who and what Jesus Christ was, but he also had a lot to say about God's Holy Spirit and what exactly was that Spirit. John was very good at explaining what God was all about to us, or at least as much as we can understand for now. And in John 14, I'm going to pick it up there in verse 17. Here's what it says, John 14, 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So this Spirit of truth he's describing here, he says it's going to be in us. What exactly does he mean here, it's going to be in us? Well, let's read a little bit further. Let's go to verse 18. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now, is it possible that when he says that he's going to come to us, this is Jesus speaking, that he's talking about coming to us through his Spirit? Through the Spirit of God, he's going to come to us. So a little sense of what Jesus' character, what Jesus' mindset is all about, is going to come to us through this gift of the Holy Spirit. Once again, think about this. Where is it coming? Where is it residing? Obviously, this has to be going on in our mind, in our brain, in our consciousness. So we're seeing little hints, little indications of what the Spirit is all about. And we will get to a more significant scripture that makes it, for me at least, very plain on exactly what this Spirit may be. Dropping down to verse 26 of this same chapter, it says, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Now let's get back to what we were saying about the Trinitarians and their understanding of the Holy Spirit. They say that the Spirit is co-equal and co-eternal to the Father and the Son. Well, does that jive with some scripture? Notice verse 26 again. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. So the Father is sending this Spirit. The Spirit is not in control in a sense. The Father is controlling the Spirit. Something to think about when you look at the Athanasian Creed and what the Trinitarians say about the nature of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'd like to go a little bit further with this, and I'd like to turn, if you would, back to Acts chapter 2. Now, whatever you're thinking right now, I think it's obvious from these scriptures that there's something about the Spirit in relation to the human mind, because it talks about the Spirit teaching us. It talks about God dwelling with us and in us. And how could it do that in any other part of our being other than our mind or our consciousness? So keep that in mind as we look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, and we understand how we receive God's Holy Spirit here. So in Acts 2:38, it says this, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." Now again, just think about that language. You're getting the gift of the Holy Ghost. Can you be given a gift of a person? Just think about that for a minute. All right? But notice this also. It says you're going to get the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit after you've repented. Where does repentance take place? It takes place in the mind. There's a conscious decision that is made. And then you get this gift of the Holy Spirit. All of this takes place in our consciousness, in our mind, and then we're given the Holy Spirit. I'm submitting to you that the Holy Spirit, however it connects with us, it has something to do with our mind and our thinking and our consciousness. And we're seeing that being revealed within the pages of these various scriptures that I've been describing to you. But let's go a little bit further with this, and let's turn in the book of Acts to Acts chapter 5, and I'll pick it up there in verse 32 of Acts 5. "And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." So once again, repentance, turning towards God, and you get the Holy Ghost. And also here it says, we've got to obey God, and we get the Holy Ghost, we get the Holy Spirit. So there's something that's happening in the minds of believers or Christians that allows them to get access to this Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit as we describe it. Now, keeping all that in mind, all of these scriptures that we've addressed thus far, I want to get more to a description of the Spirit that is more succinct. And we're going to find that when we go over into the book of 1 Corinthians. And I'm going to go into chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. If you have your Bibles handy, go ahead and turn there if you would. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 7, get this. "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory." So this wisdom about God, it's mysterious. It's not something that is easily recognized or easily understood. Let's go ahead and drop down here to verse 10. "But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God." So those who are Christians can learn more about God and his wisdom through the gift of God's Spirit. And what does the Spirit do? It searches things. It searches the deep things of God. So again, think back to those earlier scriptures, being taught, having a mind that is godlike. Jesus saying he's dwelling with you. How? In your mind, I believe, through this Spirit, this gift of the Spirit. Notice verse 11. "For what man knows the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him, even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now, it's comparing this spirit to a spirit that's already in man. And, of course, man has a spiritual element, no doubt about it. Where is that spiritual element? When you think of your consciousness, your mind, most people would agree that that's what they think of when they think of a spirit. Now, some people think of a spirit as an ethereal something that lives in you forever and ever and wafts off to heaven. And we know that that is not the case when we study the Bible. But what we see here is a comparison now between a spirit that is in God and a spirit that is in man. And if man's spirit resides in his mind, in his consciousness, then can we not imply that we need to think of God's spirit in a similar way? Now, we can't say that that's exactly what God's spirit is, but we can think of it in a similar way because that is the comparison that is being made here. Now, let's read on a little bit further to verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. This is getting back to that teaching element of the Holy Spirit, that it has a knowledge, a wisdom that it provides to Christians because it is God's wisdom. It is of God, no doubt about it. Picking it up in verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So those who don't repent, those who don't obey God, they are the natural men. They don't get the things about God. For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So with this added element of God's Holy Spirit that comes on the scene, that enters into us, enters into our minds, we now have a greater connection to God, a greater relationship with God that we did not have before. And let's wrap it up with verse 16, and this is the real kicker for me. Listen carefully to what verse 16 says, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? So he's asking a question. Who knows the mind of the Lord? But we have the mind of Christ. In other words, the answer is, the mind of Christ knows the mind of the Lord. And what is the mind of Christ? It is God's Holy Spirit. Jesus said he would be in us, did he not? In the earlier scripture that I read to you, right after we read about the Spirit coming and dwelling with us. This mind of Christ is in us through God's Holy Spirit. That is a profound statement. That gives us a greater understanding, not a total understanding, but a greater understanding of what God's Holy Spirit is all about. Now, is God's Holy Spirit more than that? Oh, no doubt about it. Turn with me, if you would, back to the Old Testament, and let's go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139, and I'll pick it up there in verse 7. Psalm 139 and 7. There is much more to this Spirit of God. Psalm 139 and verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? So God's Spirit is his presence. And when he's in us, he has a presence in us through that Spirit. Notice also Psalm 51:11. It reiterates what I've just said. Psalm 51 and verse 11. Psalm 51:11. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. We believe David wrote this particular psalm, and we believe David was one of the few lucky people in the Old Testament who had God's Holy Spirit with him. Not everyone did. The Spirit was not given like it was given at the day of Pentecost in the New Testament, and many more people now have access to God's Holy Spirit than they ever did in Old Testament times. But God's presence can also be thought of as his Spirit. Another way of looking at God's Spirit, this is back in the New Testament, let's turn to Luke chapter 1 and verse 35. Luke 1 and verse 35. Let me read this scripture to you. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So this Holy Ghost is likened to the power of the Highest, the power of the Father. So the Holy Spirit is also mentioned as the power of God, the Spirit of God, the presence of God. So there are various descriptors for the Holy Spirit in the pages of your Bible. And we need to allow the Bible to tell us about the Holy Spirit rather than us coming up with formulas and ideas about what we think the Holy Spirit is because we're trying to put God in a box. Let's not put God in a box. Let's let the Bible reveal what it can to us and admit that we cannot understand the totality of God. Now, as we start to wind down on today's program, I want to ask you another question. Some who believe in this Trinitarian concept that the Holy Spirit is a third person, they will cite scriptures such as 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. So let me just turn there quickly. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 14. And when you read this scripture, it doesn't say anything about the Holy Spirit being a third person of a Trinity. Here's what it says. It says, The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Now, the fact that they see the Father, the Son, and the Spirit mentioned all together, Trinitarians will seize upon scriptures like this and say, see, there's the formula, the three-in-one idea of the Holy Spirit. But what they forget to mention is, it doesn't say these three are one in the sense that they do within their Athanasian Creed. In fact, when you look at this word for communion, when you look at this word for communion in the Greek, koinonia, you can also translate communion as fellowship, and I can understand fellowship with the person, but also not just as fellowship or communion, but also in the sharing. You can use the word, we're sharing of the Holy Ghost there, and it would fit the Greek to a T. So the idea of sharing in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit makes a lot of sense when you know the Spirit is coming from God. Now, what's interesting is they don't cite scriptures like the beginnings, the salutations of Paul in the front of each of his epistles where he doesn't mention the Holy Spirit at all, yet he mentions the Father and the Son. Why leave the Holy Spirit out? Why not respect the Holy Spirit if he is a third person like they believe? So what I want you to do is I want you to get that literature that we were talking about today, but I want you to also listen to my colleague who's going to come on a little bit later and talk a little bit more about this interesting subject. One final thing I'd like to show you before I leave you is give you that salutation. And you'll find it in Galatians chapter 1. And you'll see this in Ephesians, Philippians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Notice what it says. Paul, an apostle, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us. And you can continue to read down through here. You don't hear anything about the Holy Spirit. Why? Over and over in these salutations Paul gives to the churches, he neglects to mention the Holy Spirit. Why, if the Holy Spirit is a personal being like the Father and the Son are? Well, I submit to you that he is not. He is to be understood in a different manner as Scripture reveals to us, as God's presence, as God's power, as God's Spirit, God's mind that we can have a part of. Learn more about this interesting topic. Listen to my colleague Bill Watson at the end of this program, and he's going to lay a little more information on you about God's Holy Spirit. I want to thank you for joining us on another edition of the Armor of God. Please continue to watch this program. Continue to read your scriptures to understand what God is all about, what the true nature of God is. And listen to my colleague Bill, who's coming on right about now.
What a program Mike had for all of us today with respect to the Holy Spirit. A tremendous amount of information he provided to each and every one of us. The fact that the Holy Spirit is not a person. That it does, in fact, come from the Father. That it's provided and given to those that obey Him. And it abodes, it abides, it actually comes into you to give you the empowerment that you need to obey this Word. But you know, there was one scripture that was suspiciously missing in action. It's located over here in 1 John chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. Now, I want to bring your attention to this. It reads, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one." Now, according to the Jameson, Fawcett, and Brown commentary, around in the 4th century or so, this was added in. Later on, at least according to Adam Clark's commentary, it was actually officially implemented into some translations. However, in all due respect, the Moffat, the Phillips, and even the Standard Revised translations do not include this particular scripture in their versions. Notice how theirs will read. It'll read accordingly. And this is 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, "For there are three that bear record." And then it picks up in verse 8, "The Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one." Amazing, my friends. You need to find out more information about this. Won't you let us help you to better understand this? That's why you need to dial 888-578-8791. Ask for those two offers that Mike presented to you on today's program, the literature, the piece that you need to get, Who and What is God, and the one-hour presentation, The Holy Spirit. Both will be very complimentary to this overall subject that is so comprehensive and oftentimes so complex because there's so much theological opinion surrounding what the Holy Spirit is. One more time, 888-578-8791. Call now, get those particular free offers. They are free for the asking. My friends, this is Bill Watson reminding all of you, as we always do, you keep on that armor of God so that you may be able to stand in these evil days.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Thames Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.